This podcast is not meant to be professional advice of any kind. It is meant to be informative and entertaining. If you make any changes to your life, see the appropriate professional before you do so. What kind of super ager are you? Go to ageist.com/quiz. Take the super ager quiz, and we'll send you directed, personalized information to help you super age the best that you can. Welcome to Super Age. My name is David Stewart. I am the founder of Ageist and your host on the Super Age show. We talk about how to live healthier, how to live longer, and how to be happier. And who doesn't want that? Today's show is also brought to you by AmeriCorps Seniors, our favorite volunteer organization for people 55 plus. Go to AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment to learn more and give back to your community. Today's show is also brought to you by the Apollo wearable. I have an Apollo wearable on my wrist right now in focus mode because I am trying to focus. Go to ApolloNeuro.com, type in the code AGEIST at checkout, save $40. Today's show is also brought to you by Timeline Nutrition with their breakthrough product, MitoPure, the first clinically tested urolithin A supplement, which is showing tremendous results for mitochondrial health. Go to timelinenutrition.com/ageist. Use the code ageist at checkout and save 10% off your first order of MitoPure. Welcome to episode 185 of the Super Age Podcast. We're going to be dropping this on May the 15th, 2024. Oh my, so much going on here. You ever like wake up in the morning and think like, what did I do yesterday? Because so many different things are going on. I feel like my life has like doubled or tripled in scope in the last 6 months or so. Big news of the day. I'm now represented by CAA, Creative Artists Agency. So they rep a number of very famous Hollywood people, and they also have a speakers bureau. And now I am exclusively represented by CAA, and we're talking about all kinds of fun things to do. And I gotta say, I was up there yesterday. I was in Midtown Manhattan meeting with my team. At CAA, amazing. This was just not on the menu even a year ago, let alone like 9 years ago. So that is really exciting. And I just kept thinking to myself, is this real? Am I really here? I had an overwhelming sense of imposter syndrome when I'm there. Like I'm looking at all these other people, like very well-known names that they represent. And it's a big deal, right? And I'm thinking, do they know who I am? Maybe they'll find out. I can't let them find out who I really am, or they're going to tell me, oh, this is all a big mistake. You there. How did you get in here? I don't know. Anyway, that was just sort of one of those like beyond my wildest dreams sort of moment. And I'm still sort of can't believe this. So anyway, big announcements. I'm now part of the CAA network. And so we'll be doing lots of stuff with them. Great people up there. And then last week, on the 15th, we had Val Monroe and myself did a little event. Val said, why are you doing this? And I said, well, I really just like getting people together and speaking to people live, because so much of our lives, you know, we're speaking to a microphone or it's just text, it's digital, it's all this other stuff. And I really like having a bunch of people in a room and talking to them. We had Val, who is an expert on all things to do with your face. She has a very well-known Substack called How Not to Fuck Up Your Face. She was 18 years Oprah's beauty editor, and she's in the know for all things beauty. We had to cut it off at 9 o'clock because we just could have gone on for hours. But I, for one, had to go to bed. So, you know, it's a successful event when you have to ask people to leave. You have to say like, I'm sorry, we're done now. So that was really fun. And I think we're going to do more of these in the fall. I'm in this building in downtown Manhattan where they have all this common space. And the building has been nice enough to collaborate with us on doing these events. So we're going to do more. I think I'll be back here in the fall. We'll do more of these. And then yesterday, oh my God, it's just such an event-packed world here. That's the way New York is. There's just like an ongoing stream of conferences and events and dinners and stuff. I got to say, I kind of love it. I think it's really amazing. So yesterday was the Global Wellness Summit on Real Estate, which seems like that could be kind of a dull and boring thing, but actually it was really great. This idea of wellness being a human right and this sort of democratization that we see going on In the world of wellness real estate, let's get real. I mean, most real estate, it's just driven by developers who want to be able to upcharge on whatever their properties are to attract people and charge more money. So they put some like wellness amenities into things. It's become much more now. And it's really a thing unto its own. I think we can safely say that this was aimed at the very highest levels of income earners, very pricey real estate, but now it's much more democratized. So there's low income housing with a lot of wellness features built in. The building that I'm in right now, which I hadn't really thought of it this way, but it's very much a wellness building. I want to change that name from wellness to well-being. Can we do that? Can we rebrand wellness to well-being? Because in the building that I'm in, you know, there's like a infrared sauna, and they got a steam, and they got a cold plunge, they got a Pilates studio, they got a spin studio, they got a gym, they got all this common space, you know, on and on and on. And that's one of the reasons I live here, because what's not to love about a building with a cold plunge, right? Who's got that? It's pretty awesome. So anyway, this is becoming more commonplace, not just in super high-end real estate. I just want to be clear. There are some fancy people in my building, but we have a rather modest 700 square foot apartment that we rent from somebody who owns it, which is fine for me at the moment. I really enjoy this concept of how I think many people, including myself, had this idea that by force of will, we could control our reactions to our environment, just like, you know, suck it up sort of thing. And one of the things that was very clear at the Global Wellness event I was at earlier this week is that's just not true. I mean, we can sort of on the outside ignore where we are, but our brains are always on. We're always sensing, and it affects us. It was interesting. A fellow who was University of Pittsburgh, neuroscientist, and he was showing brain scans of what people look like, how their brains were active in different kinds of spaces. It was as expected, has an effect. So this idea that we can sort of control our reactions to things, and on one level we can, but on another level, it's like autonomic. It's going on, and we respond really well to environments where we feel safe, where we feel taken care of, where there's a sense of order, there's a sense of hominess to them. And we're all sort of on different spectrums of these things. Some people are more in the order spectrum. Those are like the architects, right? Architects very into order and these sort of things. And then other people are a little more into shabby chic home, and it's all fine. But finding places where we can have a sense of well-being. And admittedly, one person's sense of well-being may be safe drinking water. And we have to keep that in mind, whereas someone else's may be something quite different. Always fascinating. I heard Richard Gere spoke there, and I don't know much about Richard Gere other than he's a very handsome guy, successful movie star. And I heard him speak, and he's a very thoughtful, well-spoken fellow. And he's 74 now and still, you know, incredibly handsome. And he's got great hair. So those of us who don't have hair, pay a lot of attention to people who do. The whole Global Wellness Organization, they do really good work. They do a lot of research. And this idea that they promote, which is that wellness is a human right, I think is a wonderful one. So two thumbs up for all the work that they do. If you don't know about these guys, they put out a lot of free material. So if you go to the Global Wellness Institute, there's a lot of things that one can access there. We had Nancy Davis on this podcast last week talking a little bit about that, and I'm continuing to talk about it because I think that it's an interesting thing that's going on in the world, how there's this podcast that I do, a number of other people do podcasts around health, wellness, medicine, feeling better, having a sense of agency in our world. And the Global Wellness Institute and their summit are very much part of this. It's a really interesting time how the sense of agency and like what we do and where we are has tremendous impact on us. So that was a good thing. This week on the show, let's get to that, shall we? We've got Maren Jensen, and Maren is going to talk to us a little bit about her own journey. Maren was a very successful actress. She was on a show which maybe some of us would remember called Battlestar Galactica back in, I want to say, late 70s, early 80s. And then she had this health crisis and was sidelined for a number of years and then sort of got a handle on that and figured out what that was, So we're going to talk a little bit about what happened, how she figured out what it was and what she did about it. And now what she's doing today, how she's living today. A lot of people think the life of being a successful, essentially movie star and actress on these television shows or doing movies, this is all very glam and very foo-foo. Having been, you know, sort of tangentially involved in some of that, it's not. It's really hard and it takes a real toll on people. So we are going to get with Maren Jensen in just a moment after a quick word from our sponsors. We speak a lot around here about how great it feels to give back, to mentor, to be out there being useful with all this knowledge and strength that we've accumulated over the years. There's an organization that I'd like you all to know about. It's called AmeriCorps Seniors. It's a volunteer organization for adults 55 plus, not just 65 plus or retirees, and they will work with volunteers to match them with opportunities based on their interests. Go to AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment or follow the link in our show notes below to learn more. AmeriCorps is AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment. Connect to volunteer opportunities that match your skills, interests, and desire to be part of something bigger, because the people in your community need you, and you'll get back so much more than you'll give. Today's show is also brought to you by the Apollo wearable. I have an Apollo wearable on my wrist right now in focus mode because I am trying to focus, and it works really well. I have also, and this is true, I have worn an Apollo to bed every night on my wrist for almost 3 years now, and I sleep great. It helps get me to sleep. It relaxes me before bed. And then if I wake up, this is one of my favorite parts about this. If I wake up in the night, which I often do, I have to go use the bathroom, and that can disrupt things. The Apollo just puts me right back to sleep. It's great. It's natural. It's side effect free. It was created by neuroscientists, one of which we had on the show not too long ago. The way it works is it seamlessly delivers these sort of soothing vibes to your body, and your body responds to them. It's great for women out there experiencing menopause symptoms, maybe around stress or low energy, lack of focus, or especially insomnia. Go to apolloneuro.com, type in the code AGIS at checkout, save $40. Hey, just a quick reminder, after my chat with Maren Jensen, stay tuned for Just Try This, that time in the show where we bring you a little tidbit to help you live a little happier, a little more joyfully, maybe a little longer. Stay tuned for that. Right now, let's give Maren a call. Hey, Maren, how are you today?
Hey, David, I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, but my hair does not look as good as yours. I mean, this is all audio, but you have this fantastic mane, and I don't.
Oh, I don't know. I was working in the Midwest, and I left my hair dryer in the hotel room, so I'm waiting for Amazon to deliver another one.
Ah.
So that's what's behind this wild look.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
So I want to give people a little background here. So you, way back, were an actress, and you were on a show called Battlestar Galactica.
I was indeed.
What was that, like in the 80s, mid-80s?
Late 70s, going into, well, I'll tell you about the early 80s later. Yeah, it was in the mid-late 70s when I was first cast on that show. And, you know, it was coming in the wake of Star Wars. So the network NBC was already anticipating, you know, quite a viewership because it was the most expensive show per hour that had ever been produced for TV. So I was kind of a young, naive 21-year-old who really didn't understand how lucky I was to be in that position, especially back then when there were really only three TV channels. So it was a lot to take on. It definitely was at a young age.
I want to get to your health challenge. Before we do that, I want you to describe a little bit what life on set is like. I've had some experience around that. It's not the most healthful sort of lifestyle.
Definitely not. It was an entertaining set because we had some excellent actors, venerable actors, and guest stars like I guess John Colico, Jane Seymour, people that were sort of a big deal at that point in time. And I co-starred with Lauren Green, if any of your listeners can remember Bonanza. He was my father, etc. But no, the food is terrible on set. And I think it takes an awful lot of discipline to make sure that you're taking care of your body, bringing food from home, stretching, working out, keeping yourself calm so that you, you know, deliver a decent performance and that your mind isn't all taken up with other concerns. So, but it was entertaining because we also had, you know, things like there was a chimpanzee who played a robot. I don't know if they would even allow it now, but I would do scenes with that chimp in a robot costume. And suddenly he would start making his chimp noises in the middle of the scene. He wasn't very friendly. I stayed away from him. He intimidated me. So yeah, it was an interesting experience. It definitely was.
And then you had some health issues.
Well, I did. At that point in time, I had, you know, worked consistently. I guest starred on, I think there is not a single show on TV at that time that is now a cliche that I didn't guest star on. I mean, I did The Love Boat. I did Fantasy Island. I did The Hardy Boys, Hollywood Squares, Dinah Shore, Merv Griffith, all of those. But there was an actor's strike for around 9 months. And of course, I was a little concerned about the lack of income coming in because I had bought my first house. So once we started up again, I was offered the lead in a film. So I shall not name the film because it was such a painful experience because I got deathly ill while working on that production. The hours were long. We were doing an awful lot of night shooting, so my hours were reversed. And then once I did get a virus, I wasn't able to rest and fully recover. I was in so many scenes in the film. So by the time the film wrapped, I was really in a desperate state and basically had what could be, you know, referred to as a post-viral syndrome, like long COVID. So I had the predecessor to long COVID, which, you know, some people call chronic fatigue syndrome.
Hmm. With this syndrome that you had, describe to me your life. What could you do or not do? Or,
well, I used to say, oh, I can get ready to go out, or I can go out and sit in a restaurant, but I can't do both. Get ready and then go out and sit in a restaurant. So wow. I sort of choose my shots. It was very painful and difficult. I can't even describe the level of exhaustion that I experienced. You know, my life was really completely put on hold at the age of 23, 24. And I spent most of my 20s in a pretty poor state.
And what was your process understanding what happened to you, and then how did you get better?
Initially, I went to a number of physicians, and I actually went to a renowned clinic out of state, a famous one. They ran me through every diagnostic that they had and then told me to exercise. So that was discouraging because I was pretty athletic. I knew that I couldn't exercise. Yeah. Otherwise, I would just get worse and worse. So it took about a year into it before I could find an integrative physician who was also an internist who was able to give me a diagnosis and start to, you know, give me treatments. I was very lucky to find him in Los Angeles, and I think he's still practicing. Great guy.
And what was the diagnosis and what were the treatments?
Chronic fatigue syndrome, or it's now known as myalgic encephalomyelitis. That's a little mouthful. And he used Eastern and Western modalities. I would say different herbs, homeopathy, acupuncture, vitamin infusions, and, you know, traditional allopathic medicine. He had a lot of different things in his arsenal, and he had studied each different modality quite intently. So I would, even looking back now, consider him an expert in many of those modalities. And it's surprising to me how many of those treatments that he gave me still help me to this day.
Let's talk about this. So you claim to be 67. I don't believe this to be true.
I claim to be. I am. Thanks, David. It's true. Yeah.
As we discussed earlier, I think you're a vampire. So let's talk.
My friends might.
Tell me, so at this was some time ago. We're talking almost 40 years ago.
We are. You're right. It's actually more than 40 years when I was stricken. And I had to really learn a new way of life. And that experience taught me to a profound level the importance of safeguarding one's health. I learned that lesson early. I think I was privileged, even though it was a painful one.
Tell me about this new way of life. What's Maren's life look like today?
Well, today, I mean, after many decades of experimentation, today I would say the most important component of my life is my inner peace. I really take my state of mind seriously, and I've cultivated both a meditation practice and a spiritual practice of spirituality. I pray every day. But meditation, when I start my day with it, it makes all the difference in the world as to the kind of day that I'm going to have, and helps me be less reactive and to take time before, you know, jumping on something. I am excitable. I will say I do get enthusiastic about things. And so sometimes I get a little, as I would say, chihuahua, eager. But when I do meditate, I'm much better at paying attention to my thoughts and not attaching so much to all the garbage that, you know, floats in and out of our minds 24/7. So,
could you tell us a little bit about your meditation practice, what you're doing?
Sure. Well, I actually took a course. It's the Jon Kabat-Zinn meditation format, and it's called Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction Meditation. So what I do is, upon awakening, I immediately pay attention to my thoughts and I open up my ears to sound. That's the first step in this practice, is just to open it to sound. And it kind of removes you from your thoughts, even though you're kind of watching them. And if you find that suddenly you have some thoughts circulating in your brain, you can use your breath as an anchor. You know, some people use mantra as an anchor. This uses breath. So I'll usually stay in that state anywhere from, I mean, if it's a quickie and I have to rush out of bed, it's 5 minutes, but I can stay up to 45 minutes. But I'd say on average, it's about 20 minutes.
For how long have you been doing this?
Probably close to 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah, long time. Long time.
I'm very curious. You told me your father was a physician?
Yeah, my father was an MD. He was.
And I think when we last met, you told me you have a longevity doctor. You have a lot of doctors.
Well, I have a, you know, sort of my circle of influence, I should say. And one is my doctor who helps me deal with these chronic viruses.
Yeah.
And she's an infectious disease specialist and an internist, and she's wonderful. So she kind of does general stuff because, you know, I am mindful about, you know, keeping my immune system optimized. Mm. So she's really helpful in that way. And I also see a longevity doctor here in Manhattan. And what he does is he has a lot of biomarkers that he tracks so that I'm able to, you know, monitor my progression and hopefully see any problems that are going to be coming around the bend. There's something I read, and it made a big impact on me. It's that you're as strong as your weakest link. So you can be in, you know, robust health and yet have one serious problem. And that could be your downfall, even though, you know, 95% of you is fantastic. And we've all seen this happen. I mean, certainly during this COVID outbreak.
I also understand that you're a big fan of supplements. Well, actually, before we get to the supplements, let's get to the basic stuff. Okay. So
all right.
What are you eating?
I would say I'm basically pescatarian. I'm not anti-meat per se. I will have it occasionally, but I would prefer clean fish. I would prefer, or, you know, organic meats, organic chicken. I do believe that as one ages, that having sufficient protein intake is really important. And it's been downplayed in terms of, you know, a lot of people pursuing veganism, which I'm all for if you do it in a careful manner and you make certain that you're, you know, getting sufficient protein and also the minerals and the vitamins that, say, certain meats provide, like B12, mm-hmm. let's say, iron. So, yeah, I make sure that I have enough protein every day. Yeah, at least 100 grams.
I find that, you know, the question of diets, food, it's very divisive. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason
it is
because we're all quite specific.
Right.
I've had Brian Johnson on this podcast, and Brian's a vegan.
Exactly. And I'm sure
works great for him.
Awesome.
Doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Doesn't work for me either. I mean, I, you know, lose weight and fall over.
Yeah.
I really, that push that I sustained energy that I get from sufficient protein. And of course, I eat the rainbow. I eat vegetables. I eat fruit. My daily fallbacks are always blueberries, avocados, spinach. I mean, those are a daily thing. And the way that I really chow down on blueberries is I'll put them on the stove and I'll cook them for like 2 or 3 minutes until they sort of start to get a little tender and the juice comes out. And then they keep in the refrigerator and you can really pile it on oatmeal. Because I mean, when they're raw, they're really a little harder to eat so much. But
I've never tried to eat so many. It sounds like a whole lot of blueberries you're taking in, Maren.
I really love them, you know, and I know they're great. So,
oh my.
Do you ever follow Peter Attia?
I think Mr. Attia is probably the best communicator out there in the space.
He's very good at communication.
Tremendous admiration for the rigor of his science and his ability to communicate this knowledge. Best in class, no doubt.
He gets as granular as you would ever want to get. I mean, that's the other thing. You can either do a little superficial dive when he does his little qualies, which are the 7-8 minute snippets, but then he has 2 hours on all sorts of systems in the body to the level of, you know, the signals that travel between cells and the chemical reactions. It's so technical. Makes me wish I had pursued science, but I didn't find it so interesting when I was young. Now I do.
It's him and, you know, Rhonda Patrick. There are a couple of people that are pretty good. There are a few people that are, mm-hmm. I would say, less good. Yeah. But I just sort of find myself, I've like dialed back. Most of this is pretty basic.
It really, truly is. I mean, if you've read enough articles, if you've followed certain, you know, authors, usually physicians who are authors or nutritionists and so forth. Yeah, it's pretty basic. Eat the rainbow.
Exactly.
Don't eat a lot of, you know, don't eat smoked meats. Don't eat processed foods. This is super important.
Yeah.
If you just do those things, you're going to be in pretty good health.
You know, it's all the, like, go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat dumb stuff. Take care of your stress. Like, exercise. Be engaged with other people. Like, that's 99% of it.
Don't you miss donuts, though? Sometimes I want to.
Oh, yeah. Donuts are really good.
Yeah. Krispy Kreme.
I haven't had a donut in, I don't know, 30 years. Yeah, donuts were good.
You're a better man than me, but it's been a number of years.
You know, you're still being monitored for the virus, and I'm guessing it's still in your body and you're managing.
Well, kind of what happens is when you're stricken, all these ubiquitous viruses that we all carry kind of act up, like Epstein-Barr virus or cytomegalovirus, CMV. These are all human herpes viruses. They're all in the same family. And everybody has them. if you get them late in life, you can get very sick. So you usually get them when we're young. And so if your immune system has been a bit suppressed, those that can get unruly and one, you know, start smoldering somewhere or other.
So you look amazing. And even for a vampire, extraordinary. So you were in the beauty industry earlier. You had a company at Stila, right?
Stila Cosmetics. That's correct. Yes.
Sold that, which is great. And now you have a new endeavor. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I found the beauty space to be oversaturated, but I still had this, you know, desire to take what I've learned about supplements and create something with it that would be different and useful. I don't want to have a product that's just, you know, for the sake of creating a product. So I got the idea to put beauty supplements into protein bars so that, you know, you could have a functional snack. And it took a number of years for myself, and I work with a lovely woman named Laura Shoemaker, who's my partner in this endeavor. And we developed these really delicious beauty protein bars. And they each contain four different beauty supplements to benefit skin, hair, and nails. So that's what that's about. It's called Glow Beauty Fuel. And we're just now gearing up to roll out, I don't know, about 60 doors in Metro New York. And we're doing a test here to see how it goes. And then once we figure out what works best in terms of, you know, where to spend our marketing and promotional dollars, then we'll roll out the rest of the country, you know, sort of area by area. That's the plan.
Okay. If it's for skin and hair and nails.
A lot of hair.
A lot of hair. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about some of the things that you're looking, because you have access to a lot. You know, you have a longevity physician and other medical people.
I'm so lucky. So lucky. What? Because, you know, you're able to watch it stuff unfold basically in slow motion. You know, you don't have to be surprised. You can take action and change your, you know, the course of where your health is heading.
Based on the testing they're doing.
It's preventative. And he's pretty smart guy. He stays on top of what's going on, and as do I.
Tell me about the other things you're doing for your health. You know, I understand there's still these viruses that have been activated inside you. Are you exercising vigorously? What are you doing?
Well, you know, my viral load is manageable. It's pretty low right now. So I would say the basis of my exercise is Pilates. So I have a Pilates reformer in my home. And I also do some Pilates mat movements and yoga stretches. And I do some weightlifting, and I walk a lot of steps in New York City. I love walking in this town. I love living here. To me, every block is an adventure, and I just love being able to run my life and exercise at the same time. It works for me. I grew up in Los Angeles, which is a car culture, and you get in a car to go two blocks. So this is very refreshing, and I'm a proud non-car owner. I just take public transportation or I, you know, Uber.
And what is your weakest link that you're working on?
Oh, my weakest link. I would say, you know, I have a small structural issue. So I'm working on strengthening my core because I've got little lower back, little tweaks, which I was told by my doctor come from, you know, sitting down while I work. And I have done that a lot, like so many people do. I'm working on my core so that I alleviate that pain. And I've switched up a lot of my exercises because some of them were aggravating that. So that's one challenge I'm working on. I'm not trying to run a marathon. I'm not doing what you're doing with your astonishing downhill skiing racer. I mean, that's really some change. I'm just happy to work and hopefully have another successful venture here. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a parent, so I have two adult children, and my youngest, my daughter, lives at home. She's still in college, so that's a lot of fun. We went and saw Neil Young last night out in Forest Hills.
Oh, God, I saw Neil Young in some funny little town, rural California, like 5 years ago. It was fantastic.
Oh, he's just astonishing. He sounds so good. And he was spreading it. He was phenomenal. And my daughter is a huge fan. And, you know, she's in her early 20s. So it's kind of a fun evening for us. Yeah.
Go Neil.
Yeah, go Neil. So, yeah, that's kind of my exercise practice. I do probably like 45 minutes a day on average, maybe not counting the walking. Some days I do an hour and a half. Some days I do half an hour.
But Meredith, it's so nice to chat with you.
David, I so enjoyed meeting you. I had a really great time.
I think before we leave, one of the things I would like you to help my people out with is a number of people have had undiagnosed or undiagnosable issues. And it's a real challenge. It's very frustrating and it's hard for people. What would you suggest for people who are having some kind of a health issue and they're having trouble getting a handle on even like what it is?
Well, I would say don't neglect your state of mind, because being challenged with your health and especially being undiagnosed is quite stressful. And you can become stressed out and consumed with circular fearful thoughts around that. It sounds trite, but I think that was a big part of my wellness was, and for me, meditation works. Maybe for someone else, it's listening to music, but it's really getting rid of as much negative self-talk and hopelessness as you can. And that's not to minimize any dire conditions that someone can be in. And I know some awfully sick people. So I would say that's number one. I'm a big believer in, you know, crowdsourcing and that there are so many resources online. It's not to say that, you know, one pretends to become a doctor if you read it online. I don't go that far. But finding a community of people who kind of fit in the slot of the problems you're having is so important. And I can't tell you how many great suggestions or pointers and direction I got from reading the comments section. Mm-hmm. And like, say, a blog, like in my situation, there is a blog called healthrising.com. And even the doctors follow this. The journalist is also a patient, but he has an astounding ability to write about these solutions and then also put it in a way that, you know, is comprehensible, you know, to us lay people. Yeah, I think really getting in those communities, not being in denial about bad habits like smoking or, you know, drinking or imbibing drugs might feel good in the moment, but that we all know aren't good for you. I think it's so important to foster a community, people who you trust and you can, you know, share your feelings with, whether it's in a romantic relationship or friendships. I just see so many older people, especially, who isolate so much, and it's a real problem. So I have cultivated, you know, really good friends and people who I can, you know, ask their advice. It's about having a belief in yourself and a belief that you're going to get well. It may not come when you want it to. I know that I was impatient and, you know, certainly you can be impatient after years of having, you know, a restricted life and a lot of pain or ongoing health challenges. But if you can accept on a certain level things the way they are and still have an optimistic mindset about, you know, how you can see yourself better, it does really help. Again, not minimizing, you know, people are in accidents. I'm not a believer in something like blaming the patient. I find that really offensive. You do have to sort of muster whatever strength you have and really focus on how you can think better. What's your plan of attack? whether it's online or what you can do better.
Wise words. Agency. We all have agency.
We do have agency. And I will say a lot of people will tell you it's in your head or whatever. Just don't let it get to you.
Yeah. Wonderful. Maren, thank you so much for your time today. One more opportunity. What's your business?
Glow Beauty Fuel. If you live in the Manhattan, you'll see us in your specialty grocer, hopefully within the next 4 weeks.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time today, Maren. Good luck with everything.
Take care, Dave. Bye.
That was a lot of fun. You know, I realized that this is an audio-based program, so you're not going to see what Maren looks like. But we did a photo shoot with Maren about, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. We did a profile of her on the cover of Aegis, and you can see those pictures. Her hair is tremendous, and so is her skin and her whole everything. She's just filled with vivacity. And I know that I don't like to talk too much about appearance because I think there's like too much emphasis on that anyway. But I don't know what 67 looks like anymore. But anyway, she's really fun to be around. Anyway, big thank you to Maren. We are going to get with Just Try This after a quick word from our sponsor.
One supplement that I take every day is MitoPure from Timeline Nutrition. It contains urolithin A. There's a tremendous amount of science out there about urolithin A, and it's all very positive. Urolithin A helps us with something called mitophagy, which is cleaning out our older, not so functional mitochondria. And at 65, I've built up some dysfunctional mitochondria. Cleans those out, replaces them with new, better functioning mitochondria. What it does is it helps us with all the energy production in our bodies. Our brains, our immune systems, our muscles, all of those include mitochondria. They're the energy powerhouse, and we want to have the best mitochondria we can. This is why I take MitoPure every day, why members of my scientific board take it, why their families take it. It's a great product. If you go to timelinenutrition.com/ageist, use the code ageist at checkout, and you'll save 10% on your first purchase.
This week on Just Try This, this idea of staying in the present and not ruminating about the past. So if you're anything like me, sometimes we ruminate about the past. We think like, oh gosh, that would have been better, or that was kind of scary, or I hope whatever doesn't happen again because it happened then. And, you know, we get in these sort of loops. And one of the things that Maren brought up, which I thought was really helpful, was this idea of just paying attention to the sound around us, which can help bring us into the present, into the moment, and get us out of the past. Because let's face it, we want to stay out of the past. Sometimes we can go there and like, oh, that was really nice. But 90% of the time we go into the past, it's not so good, right? We're just looking at like the dark stuff, which is, you know, just how we humans are wired. So anyway, one of the tricks to not do that is to just listen. Just use your ears. Very simple. You don't have to be a Buddha to do this. It's just, what am I listening to right now? What are the sounds around me? What's happening right at this moment? And that can oftentimes sort of break that rumination cycle and bring us into where we are today so that we're able to look forward. So this week on Just Try This, if you find yourself thinking a lot about the past or you're sort of caught in this loop, just stay still for a second and listen. What are you hearing? What are the sounds around you? And just note those. That's this week on Just Try This. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on the show this week. It's just so nice that you guys spend time with us. I really, really appreciate it. This is, I know, the time of the show. Every week I say the same thing, and I don't know how many of you actually come through and helped us out, but this is your moment. If you haven't, you can still do it. You can leave us a review, up to a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. You can leave us a comment. You can contact me directly, david@superage.com. I answer all of my email promptly and directly. Everyone, have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week. Take care now.